Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined by Richard Hero Hudson.
Good evening.
And a guest for this week, we've got Adam Davey.
Hello.
Or Adam D on the forum, as he's also known.
Yeah.
You both well?
Yeah, I'm excellent.
Yeah, I'm... We have been having a talking over each other from years and years of podcasts on the wrestling one. Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Good stuff. I'll start with a few short, quick stories to get us going. We're going to be talking about the transfer deadline day in some depth, and also the internationals, especially looking at the home nations. But just to start with, Bastian Schweinsteiger has been saying some farewells tonight. As far as we're aware, just to point out, we're recording at 9:15 now. So some of the transfers we may say may be out of date tomorrow or wrong. But as far as we're aware, he's staying at United. He's still at United, but he's saying his farewells because it's final Germany appearance. He's playing farewell game for them.
I hope he's off.
Go on, Adam.
I was going to say, it's like he's saying his farewells, but he's staying. So he's saying his farewells to the German squad.
Yeah, he's saying his farewells to the German squad because he's playing for the final time for them.
All right, okay. So on that transfer news, there isn't actually any transfer news?
There's no transfer news, but he's turned down moves to Portugal, is what I've read today. But yeah, he said before that Man United will be his final European club that he plays for. So maybe it's a move to China or the MLS or anything, if anything happens later on down the line.
No, thank you.
The good thing for him on the transfer is that both the MLS and the Chinese League don't have the transfer deadline date today, like the English league does, so he could still be on a move.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, why? You know, okay, you want to stay at a big club in Europe, but at the same time, if you're not playing, why would you want to stay in the canals of Manchester when you can go and sit on the Alcala? It's crazy.
Well, he said that Man United are a special club to him growing up, and that they were the only club that could ever take him away from Bayern Munich. So
I still think he's going to. United have hardly been sort of favourable to him, though, have they? They've not shown him any loyalty.
No, they haven't. Well, no. But it's a difficult situation. He obviously loves United, but I don't know. I think, well, he's probably got to leave. He's never going to get on with Mourinho, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens on that.
What's he on, $200,000 tomorrow that week?
Yeah, probably about that, which most people would love that. and just happy to be sat on a bench somewhere.
Yeah. Moving on, Sergio Aguero's out of the Manchester derby because he's got a ban for elbowing Winston Reid. Do we think that it was the right that he got the ban, or do you think it was a fair challenge for the ball?
I was going to say, yeah, I would hazard a guess that Rich is going to say it was absolutely the right deal to do. But if he had been a United player, it would have been absolutely the wrong deal to do.
What, you're the neutral.
No,
what
I think
you...
it's the right thing to do. But I think that Fellaini gets away with it every week, and he should just be it as banned.
Yeah, that's because you don't like Fellaini, and he's rubbish.
Any player that does an elbow in the face on purpose should get a ban.
Do you think it was deliberate?
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's a lot of question about it, and the other thing I want to point out is the referee, Andre Marino, apparently didn't see it when he was quite close to the incident. He said to the FA didn't see it, which caused the review. So I don't know whether that was him knowing he'd made a mistake and he was given it the opportunity to be like re-refereed, if you like, even though that's probably not the official right thing to do.
What do you both think about, because I've noticed that there's already been quite a lot of more sort of penalties happening, especially for the shirt pulling, and the referees are like, some have been clamping down on just the slightest shirt pull. Mm-hmm. Whilst others are still sort of letting it go.
I think on paper, it's got to be... I think we've been talking about it for ages. We've been complaining for a long time that people are... defenders get away with all sorts. Well, and attackers at set pieces, and now they're clamping down on it. I think we should be happy. I think it's maybe a shame that not all the referees have taken it as strictly as they should, but I definitely think we're going the right way. And I think once referees see that other referees are doing it, it will eventually become the norm that, you know.
Do you not think, though, that it'll go the other way in that you'll have this more cynical attack at the strikers like Costa and stuff feigning that they've had the shirt pulled?
Yeah, I was going to suggest the same thing, that I absolutely think that you'll find people diving a lot more in the box and saying they've had the shirts pulled.
It's quite an interesting point, actually. It's not something I'd considered, but yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Maybe FIFA should get another two linesmen to stand in the box next to the two who stand in the box goal line. Look for shirt pulling.
Or they should have some sort of technology in the shirts.
Couldn't you pull your own shirt then?
Oh yeah, I think fingerproof technology so you can recognise it's not your own.
On a serious note though, if some of the incidents which were penalties, if they weren't given as penalties, I think, you know, say that it happened last season, I think we'd be complaining that, you know, how can he not give a penalty? How can he get away with doing that? I think.
Yeah, I think there's just a few that are looking quite very soft ones.
You think it was affecting results that much and it was that much of an issue that it needed to be corrected as it has been?
I think certain teams do it a lot. I think uncertain players were getting away with it on a lot of occasions. So perhaps I think some teams might suffer from it.
I think a better way to look at it is to do retrospective bans on it. You know, so it doesn't affect the gameplay at the time, because otherwise people are going to start diving. But what it does do, then, if on the Monday morning they sit down and have a look at the video footage and see that you've been doing it during the game, then you get, you know, the equivalent of a yellow card.
The problem is that the FA are against the re-refereeing of games in that manner. It's why Andre Mariner said he didn't see the incident. I think you'd be re-refereeing the game after, which it's an interesting idea, but I don't agree with the idea of that, you know, going through all the incidents, because there'd be some incidents picked up on, some ignored. I think that's an impossible thing to do myself. It's a nice idea, but I don't think it would be feasible.
I think that's like the rugby official, that you can just quickly, you know, get somebody that's watching the TV to go back a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think of a tennis-style challenge system as well?
Yeah, I like that. Like, you know, when they get three challenges in cricket, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Three challenges a match, whatever it may be. I don't mind that for offside decisions and also for penalties and things. I think it's not a bad one. And when you look at Wimbledon now, when they go to Hawkeye, you know, the whole crowd gets into it, and then they go, and it's the same with the rugby and the cricket, you know, that as the decisions come in on the big screen, you get a bit of crowd involvement, don't you?
But then I think the problem you've got...
They don't go to the big screen on, like, controversial decisions, though, do they, on TV?
On what? At the game, you mean?
Yeah, if there's any controversial decision, they won't put it up on the big screen.
It's because the FA don't... It's against FA rules to do so. They're not allowed to.
Right.
But I think the difference with tennis is that... With tennis, with, say, Hawkeye, it's either right or wrong. Like, we can watch that Aguero incident and, you know, some people will say it's deliberate, but a lot of people on Twitter think that it wasn't deliberate. And, you know, there's been penalties and we can watch all the slow motion replays and some of us would still think, say it was a penalty and some would say it's a dive. And I think with football, it's a different one because there is that shade of grey. There's quite a big shade of grey where, you know, we can watch all the replays and still disagree. And pundits on TV regularly do so as well.
Yeah, well, tennis, also, you're not going to have, like, half the fans suddenly get up and slash the other fans with the strawberries and cream, are they?
Okay, well, what you're trying to say is more working class and that there's more going to be more aggro to such a volume of people. Yeah, well, yeah, but, I mean, same with rugby. I mean, you don't get such... You just want to get on par with rugby what they get to in the lower divisions. So I don't see that myself. I think I like the idea of having the challenge, you know, having three challenges a game. I quite like.
Yeah, I think maybe if you couldn't use it for fouls and you could only use it for, say, offsides and if the ball's in or out or something like that, and then it's matter of fact with those rather than, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just an idea. We'll move on. We did our weekly Player of the Week poll, and our four nominees were Danny Rose for Spurs, Alexis Sanchez for Arsenal, Raheem Sterling for City, and Eden Hazard. Who would you guys, of those four, would say deserves Player of the Week?
I would have gone for Sterling out of the four, just ahead of Hazard.
Okay.
I think Sterling is not a great player, personally, but I thought he'd be brilliant this week. I also thought Sanchez had a cracking game as well.
Well, the followers on Twitter both disagree with you, and they disagree with me as well, because Hazard has won this week's with nearly half of the vote, ahead of Sterling in second, and Sanchez, and then Danny Rose in fourth. So,
well, I can understand it. I think he's down as being the most influential player of the season so far on the rankings. So,
has anyone else got any like sort of quick stories or anything? Funny stories they want to mention before we move on to the transfers?
Well, it's transfer related, but Jack Wilshere has managed to successfully undergo a medical.
That is pretty funny. We'll move on to that. He's moving to Bournemouth from the looks of things. Arsenal have blocked a loan move to Roma. It's not confirmed as at the time of recording, but it looks highly likely that that's happening. Good signing for Bournemouth.
If he's fit, then yeah.
I don't think he even needs to be particularly fit, to be honest. I think it's a cracking signing. But even if he only plays, you know, a handful of their games, he's going to improve that team.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree, Adam.
I'm disappointed he's not gone to Roma, though, of anywhere. I think more... I've said it on the podcast a few times about English players need to get out onto the continent a bit. Mm-hmm. I think he could have learnt a bit from being over at a club at the level of Roma.
Well, allegedly Arsenal blocked the move because... earlier in the transfer window, they tried to sign Kostas Manolas, the centre-back from Roma, they didn't get, and they were apparently unhappy with Roma because of the way that transfer turned out, and blocked it, even though Wilshere and Roma both wanted that move.
Yeah, I agree with Rich on that one. I think he would learn a lot more and become a much better player going to Roma. I can't think of anyone, any English player or British player particularly, who's gone abroad who hasn't benefited from it. Joe Cole. This is about the only one I can think of.
I wrote a pretty in-depth piece for V2 Football, which you can check out. But I've basically said that more English players should play abroad. And, look at someone like Eric Dier, who's grown up in Portugal with a completely different footballing culture, and he's come into the Spurs and England team, and you know he's been brilliant. Owen Hargreaves as well, great example. Let's move on and talk about someone who has moved abroad then, an English player. Joe Hart, who's gone to Torino on loan for the season. Presumably he'll be the first choice keeper there, rather than third choice at City.
It's an odd club for him to have gone for. Like, after just saying about Wilshere going to Roma would have been the right move. Torino aren't particularly a big club in Serie A.
They're just sort of a mid-table, aren't they? Like,
that's what they are now, but... haven't they won more trophies than Man City, I think, in their history? You know, they won more... but no, I agree. The thing, it's not surprising that he's gone there. What I think has been more surprising is that there wasn't more clubs interested.
Well, apparently he turned down Dortmund, who wanted him. But I don't know. I guess there he's absolutely nailed on to be first choice. Maybe if he'd gone to a bigger club, a few mistakes, he might have been not first choice. But it is a bit...
Surely that would have been a better move for him. Yeah, that's a club that has always been like the cutting edge of like new techniques and skills in football.
Mm-hmm.
And for a player that has his weaknesses, you know, he's not one that's good at starting an attack. He's good at being a defensive goalkeeper, but not a progressive one.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could really have helped him. Because Dortmund are very much like, quickly, let's get the ball forward as fast as we can, and that should have helped him.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll move on from that. Other players have left City, all on loan deals. Mangala has gone to Valencia. Looked like he didn't have any place in Guardiola's plans either. So
yeah, he never worked, did he, for the club? Yeah. With a big reputation as being like one of the next big centre backs in Europe. And
like physically, he's a very good player. Like, he's good at tackling. He's quite, you know, he's big, he's strong, he's quite fast. But it's just mentally, I think, it really lets him down. He just doesn't seem switched on all the time.
I think it's the centre-backs in the Premier League. You have to be a different sort of player than being a centre-back on the continent. And I don't think he sort of adjusted at all to it.
Another centre-back with some questionable defensive ability, David Luiz, who's coming back to Chelsea for 30 million. He left to go to PSG a few years ago for 50 mil. He's now coming back for 30. He's updated his Facebook page with a chat in wearing a Chelsea shirt. So while it's not been officially confirmed, I think we can take it from that it's, well, by the time the listeners listen to this, it is a done deal.
Great for fans of all other clubs in the Premier League, really.
Do you not rate him at all, Rich?
He's an attacking centre-back. He just wanders out of position far too much.
He's got too much of a liability, isn't he?
Yeah. For every great last-ditch tackle he'll do in a game, then there'll be another bit where you'll think, why is he in his position? Why has he wandered off somewhere? It's like he's got sort of ADHD or something on the pitch.
The thing is,
they're playing three centre-backs, aren't they, with full-backs behind them, well, outside of them. I don't think he's going to fit into a team which are playing three centre-backs, where there's much more reliance on those three to stay back. I just don't think it's a great signing. I think he'd most probably be better with a team like Man City. Not that he's good enough to get to the Man City team, I think, that. But even Man United, he would probably suit a bit more.
Well, yeah, with the physicality of the United team that's coming up. I don't know about the City, him and John Stones together. They'd be more forward than the striker half attack.
I think with David Luiz, though, I wouldn't play him in the top games. I wouldn't play him at centre back against, you know, a City or United or whatever. But against the smaller teams, you know, against Burnley or Bournemouth or whoever, I think he'd be okay at centre back, and he would look forward. And I personally think he's quite an underrated player. I don't think he's that much of a liability as he's made out to be. I think he's made a few high-profile mistakes and he can get forward well, which sort of makes him a bit of an easy target for me.
I also think that players with big hair suit are more visible and get picked up more in the media. Just because, you know, you can always see, you know, there's a incident going on, someone like a Fellaini or a David Luiz. I know that was a ridiculous comment. I apologise for it. I retract it. It's nothing to do with the hair.
I don't think you should retract it, because I think it's kind of true.
Same with Jason Lee. Whatever happened to him, mate? That's a blast of the past. You're almost probably too young. Here's the one they take the pizza. That, you know, have a coconut on his head. they don't do themselves any favours. Pineapple. Yeah.
We'll move on to another defender. Marcos Alonso's joined Chelsea for £23 million. He's previously played in the Premier League with Bolton. He played for Sunderland on loan. He's come from Fiorentina now. He's joined for £23 million, which I think is a lot for him. I do rate him. I really like him. He's a good defender, but I don't think he's worth £23 million myself. I think it's a bit of a panic buy.
Yeah, I think it's just another sort of like, Chelsea seem to buy a left back every single year that does nothing for a year and then goes away again.
Well, it's because they sort of don't challenge Cesar Azpilicueta a lot. Who do they have? They have Felipe Luis, who's now at Atletico, and he's a great defender.
He's one of the best left backs in the world.
And Baba Raymond, weren't it, who didn't do anything. I'm not sure where he's gone now. I think he's left.
He's gone to Schalke, though.
So, yeah. Well,
I reckon that the Chelsea offensive scout must have pictures of Conte in a compromising position. That's the only time a player's decent to be buying, isn't it? Offensive one. There's a lot of faith in the scout, because maybe they've only got one scout who just goes and watches defenders all year round.
I guess.
In his contract, they have to buy a left back once a year.
I guess Conte will presumably know Alonso quite well, because he's, you know, from the Italian league, he's managed at Juve and seen him, I'm sure, and been aware of him picking the Italian squad. So I presume he's
one of the best fullbacks in Serie A last year. But again, I think just Azpilicueta is better.
He can play on the right as well, can't he? Though, so maybe he could start for them on right back. I don't know. Well, I mean, Azpilicueta. Sorry, I mean can play.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe. Cuadrado's left Chelsea. A strange deal, this. He's gone to Juventus on a 3-year loan deal.
Well, that's like a permanent signing, isn't it?
No, he's only gone.
It is weird, isn't it?
Well, he says
3-year loan.
He's gone to Juventus on a 3-year loan. He was there, he's been there on loan before. He's gone for a further 3 years, which is strange because Conte was saying that he sees Cuadrado as a big part of his plans for the season, but obviously not that big.
Do you think it's to do with Pogba stuff, in that they can see him being a Chelsea player in the future, but what they don't do is send him to Juve and then get a 1,000,000% markup in the future to buy him back? So maybe that's the way of working it. I don't know. Do you think it's anything to do with that?
I could see it.
Chelsea do seem to loan out in the entire league, and they got something like over 50 players out on loan now.
They did have a ridiculous amount over the. They've had it. It's been like that for years, hasn't it? Though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's it's strange having someone grabbed for 3 years, as you say, but you know, it helps the wage bill, I'm guessing, if they're not going to play it.
Yeah. Another player who's left Chelsea on loan, Loic Remy, who's gone to Crystal Palace for the season. He links back up with Alan Pardew again. I'm sure he'll get a lot more chances there than he would at Chelsea.
I actually think he was a missed opportunity last season. Didn't he go out on loan last season as well? Or did he play? He played a couple of games, didn't he?
He played, but he didn't get much of an opportunity, really, last season.
With Costa playing so badly and all team playing so badly, you'd have thought that you would... He's a great player, really. And, I don't know what they were thinking. They should have played him more last season.
Yeah. Crystal Palace have done a fair few decent either signings or loans over the summer. They're just not clicking at all on the pitch yet.
What do you think of their other big striker, Benteke?
Well, that's it. You look at a strike partnership of Benteke and Remy, and you think that them as a pairing should score a number of goals, but they're just not doing it yet.
Not yet.
But the thing is, Crystal Palace were not going awful at the end of last season as well. You know, for the second half of last season, they were terrible. It was only their first half, you know, they kept them up. But, they're strange. They got a tendency to sign these big-name strikers on big deals. They do nothing. Last year they had, what's the guy's name from Arsenal?
Adebayor,
yeah. Is he still there?
No.
Is he gone, is he? Right, okay. You don't know what's going on because they've got Kabaye, Kabaye.
Oh, it's better than kebab, how Joe Kinnear pronounced it once in an interview.
He's not flipped this season either. You know, I don't know what's going on there. He does seem to be loading up on the old ex-Newcastle players.
Yeah.
They all did so well there.
All right, let's go on. Puts us nicely on to the next one. Ex-Newcastle player, possibly. As it stands, we don't have any confirmation on any deal, but Moussa Sissoko, he was insisting that he'd end up going to Real Madrid, but now the latest news we have is that he's probably going to Everton or Spurs, and he's trying to decide between the two for a 30 million deal.
Okay, there's a question for you too. Where would you go if you had the choice between those two, Everton and Tottenham?
I think if I had the assurances over first team football, I'd definitely pick Spurs, but I don't know. I think Koeman's a big factor at Everton, but yeah.
He's mentioned about Real Madrid, but he's been saying for 2 years how much he wanted to join Arsenal. So, as a Spurs fan, would you want him at the club?
I guess not, maybe not.
Would you take Aguero at Man United?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Well, there you go then, there's your answer. I think people didn't forget all about it. You know, if they get a cracking player, I think they forget their loyalties.
I don't rate him that highly, though, as a player. It's like... He played, I think, two good games in the European Championships, and suddenly this astronomical feast came out of the air for him. For Newcastle, he was absolute gash last season.
In all way. I mean, if you're a fantastic striker, but no one's helping you out, you're not doing a score, mate. You've got Hal Robson-Cardew at Reading.
Yeah, but he was just lazy.
Someone like Wijnaldum, though, as well, who's moved to Liverpool, he's someone that could, he didn't have a great season, but he was stuck in that Newcastle team.
Well, he's looked awful so far for him.
Arsenal, it's not a deadline day move as such, but Arsenal have got Mustafi and Perez for a combined 50 million. Do we think they're good deals, or do we think he's maybe overpaid for two average players?
Mustafi's a decent centre-back. He's sort of a long-term replacement for Mertesacker. I don't think he improves the squad that much. I don't think either of them do. Though, who's the Spanish commentator, the Spanish reporter guy for Sky?
Guelan Balag.
Yeah, he was absolutely creaming himself over Perez the other night.
I know he's got quite a few assists as well as goals. So.
Yeah, he was saying that Arsenal have got one of the best players from La Liga. So he seems to really rate him.
You trust him to... It must be a cut and dried your case there.
Yeah, well, I'm going a bit off Balak over the last couple of months after his comments about Pogba and such.
Yeah, I know, I was thinking that. Alright, we'll go on to City. We mentioned a couple of their loan deals, but also Wilfried Bonny has gone to Stoke on loan. I guess he's first choice striker there instead of, third choice at City. I guess Stoke haven't really got a top striker. They've got Mami Biram Diouf, Peter Crouch.
Trash,
yeah, and John Walters as well. I guess that's a a big improvement for Stoke. I reckon he'll score goals there.
He is, if he's the Bonnie of Swansea and not the Bonnie of City. Because even when he had his opportunities at City, when Aguero was injured and it was still Bonnie getting in there instead of Iheanacho, he couldn't hit the back of it. He was as like a stormtrooper with his shots. So he needs to get back to that Swansea level.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stoke have got fantastic squad of players there. And I think their biggest problem at the moment is Mark Hughes, who I just don't rate as a manager at all. I think if they had a better manager with that squad of players, I think they could really do better. I know some people say they're punching above their weight as it is, but I think they've got potential to be a great little team, you know, and go Europe.
Mm-hmm. It's because of Hughes, because he was the old Wales manager.
No, I just don't rate him. I mean, he went from Wales to Blackburn. He didn't really do much for Blackburn. Then he went to, was it City? I don't think he did much. He didn't really do very well City. Fair enough, it was before the money came. But you know, he hasn't, to me, he's never really achieved anything. Has he won a trophy? I don't think so. He didn't get anywhere with Wales. He gets the
money. With Stoke, though, he's completely revolutionised the team ethos there, and you know, how they play. Stoke for years were just a long ball merchant, probably the most unattractive side in the Premier League, and he's turned them into a mini Barcelona now.
Well,
a mini
that's like great. I was going to say,
well, because they've got about six Barcelona players there.
I was going to say, it's nothing to do with the Welsh connection of Mark Hughes, you know, but I was going to, at the same breath, say, I really like Tony Pulis for some reason, but he's Welsh as well. I do like Tony Pulis' teams. I do like Tony Pulis' teams, I don't know why, and I think he got a bad rep at Stoke and also at Crystal Palace or wherever else he's been. Maybe not at West Brom, but that's pretty turgid. But no, the thing is, Mark Hughes has bought some good players, but I just don't think he's getting the best out of them. I think the you know, some of the people that they've got just behind the striker, and then they've got Boney in front. I think they've got a fantastic attacking team there, and at no time do I pick up a football coupon and have faith Stoke are going to get a win, whether at home or away or wherever, whoever they're playing. You always get a feeling that they're going to go lose to some nitty team.
So he's got a good eye for the player, and he's got good agents, but he's not actually a decent manager.
That's basically what I think, yeah. And that's this. I want to see him do well. I actually thought he might have gone back to Man United if Mourinho hadn't taken it. But I don't know. I just don't rate him that much. You get some managers who just get a really big reputation of being a good manager, but actually have never really proved anything. I just don't see why he gets such a great name.
Okay.
He was behind Cantona, my favourite sort of United player of the 80s, 90s, just to let you know.
Thank you. But, as an avid Welsh fan, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, that's the reason why I came on here, we'll be talking about it later. I still didn't particularly ever like Sparky. I don't know why. I didn't have a tip to the guy.
I just remember it was against Arsenal, and I think it was David Rocastle sparked him out in one box, and he was booed for about a minute, and then got up and just legged it the entire length of the pitch. And took him back out, and he ended up with this huge brawl between the two sides. And it was always my favourite after.
Anyway, I think we got a bit off track. news round. But I think it's a cracking signing, Boney, by the way.
What about
Martin Zindi, who I know nothing about.
Yeah, what do you make of Bruno Martin Zindi, Rich?
Well, he was heavily linked with United back after the, was it the World Cup?
Oh yeah, a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and then he went to Porto instead. And I think he's been doing all right for Porto. So I'm surprised that he's gone to Stoke, because he's still got a fairly decent reputation, as far as I was aware. But it might put him on the platform of being in the Premier League and then a bigger club come in for him.
Well, he's a good physical player. He fits Stoke quite well, I guess.
I think everyone just remembers him for that stare.
Yeah. Just jump back a little bit. Samir Nasri has gone to Sevilla. He was accused by Guardiola of being overweight. Do you think he can be a success in La Liga?
Well, he does look like a fat lesbian.
Oh, bitchy.
Fat lesbian. Maybe you should ask that as a Twitter question. Who are your favourite fat lesbians who've played in the Premier League? I'm trying to think of others.
You've got to be gutted as a Sevilla fan to loan out, is it Conor Plancke?
Oh,
you know.
Yeah, kind of.
He's gone to Schalke on loan from your club, and you've replaced him with Nasri.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, I think you're not a fan of
it. He's a player that's similar to Nani. In one in every 10 games, he looks absolutely amazing. And then for the rest, you might as well just have 10 players on the pitch.
West Brom have signed Watford right back, Neom, very fast right back. Watford have brought in Jan Matt recently, and we wondered what would happen. But yeah, he's gone to West Brom. I guess they needed a right back. Well, they needed anyone really, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Berahino, as it stands, is still at West Brom.
He just doesn't look the player he was two seasons ago, and he just doesn't look like he wants to be there, does he?
No, he looks... It's a strange one, because he had a few good games, but for me, I don't think he's going to be... He needs to prove himself more for me.
And I think he's rubbed the fans up enough now. I think the West Brom fans are just fed up of him now.
I guess it's that West Brom want a decent fee for him, like he is... I don't know, they seem to think he is... you know, top draw player, but I don't know, it's a punt for 20 million. I wouldn't want to, you know, pay that for him personally. I wouldn't.
No, he's a young version of Adam Wingie now.
if you could look at all the Premiership teams and say, I can really imagine him slotting into that team, where do you think he would suit?
Well, he's been linked most with Spurs, but I don't know.
I don't think he'd add much to the Spurs team, you know. Because they've got some, you know, pretty good forward players there, you know, young players who can fit in a similar sort of role. I think somewhere like Liverpool would suit him, personally.
I was thinking West Ham. He's around West Ham on sort of level.
I'll be nice for Chris to hear that one in the morning.
Anyway, that's not a disservice to West Ham. I think he's about a sort of a seventh or eighth in the table sort of player. I don't think he's a player that would fit into a Champions League team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always agree with that, because you get some players who are for their whole career in an average team and score a shed load of goals. Now, he's not scored a shed load recently. But, I mean, going back to Robert Earnshaw, going back a few years, you know, even Dion Dublin, he goes to United, but, you know, players like that who are in, if you put them in an Arsenal team who are going to set you up 20 chances a game, you just don't know how good they're going to be. And I think someone like Berahino could be that type of player. You know, if you put him into a good fantastic team or set up chance you, how good could they be? You just don't know. I think he's committed to three.
I've seen ones like Boney and the one that's just gone from Chelsea that
Remy
don't do it at the clubs. Yeah. And Benteke.
Were they really given a fair shake, you know? They weren't given that many games to get up to speed, you know. It seems like these days, you know, big clubs buy you for twice the asking price, give you two games to get a hat-trick. If you don't, then that's it, you're a squad player.
I just don't see enough quality in him. I think it's like a Wilfried Zaha at United. He looked good in a Crystal Palace shirt, but then didn't look the part when he went up a notch.
Mm-hmm. You said Berahino would go well at West Ham. Someone who is playing for West Ham this season is Arbeloa, who joins. He was released from Real Madrid at the end of the season. He's joined West Ham. Yes, good experience to the side. You know, a bit of a cover at defence.
West Ham have quietly gone about the business and got in a fair few decent players. They've not got. I think they were really trying to get a proper big name statement, which they didn't manage. But I think they've done fairly well out of the window.
I think the best bit of business they've done is managing to keep Payet after all the interest in him.
Yeah.
But no.
By the way, I was going to say, what did you think of the stadium when you saw the match of the day? I don't know if you talked about this last week. Apologies if you did.
No, we didn't. Why?
Because obviously you've got the running track, which I think was painted green, making it like grass. Did it put you off when you watched it on telly? I review.
I didn't really notice it, to be brutally honest.
Apparently, it's got a decent atmosphere for a new stadium, which surprised me. Well, West Ham have always been a very vocal crowd. It just leaves a sour taste in my mouth, the whole deal for the stadium. I know Chris, if he was on, would disagree and say it was all tickety-boo and there's no underhand dealings, but getting a stadium for £1 million a year just doesn't seem right to me.
I guess it's better that it's used for something rather than nothing. They're definitely underpaid for it, but it's better than it being, you know, ending up not being used at all. I suppose. You know, like you have the other problems with some of the other previous, the other Olympic stadiums. I don't want to get too much into the politics of it all, but...
What did you think to it then, Adam?
At first I thought, what the hell's going on there? And then I realised it was. But the stadium looked fantastic. It looked like a really good atmosphere there, and it helped that, you know, the match that they showed, it was on a sunny day, you know, as opposed to tipping it down. It didn't bother me, but I can imagine if you're a fan and you're not, remember the old Upton Park, half the time, you know, they were literally a foot away from the actual goal line at times, you know, in the old days, you know, before they went all seated. But yeah, some of the old stands at the old Upton Park were right on the touchline. Straight to the fence.
Yeah, West Ham was one of those sort of clubs that still had, although it's in London and London grasses are just ridiculous to go and watch a game, it still felt like it had an old school fan base still to the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that sort of 70s, 80s vibe still that if you looked at one of them wrong, you might end up with a smile coming up to your ears.
That's lovely. That's a lovely thought.
All right. I'll move on from that.
You move on from GBH. Okay, that's nice. I'm assault with a lethal weapon.
Yeah. We'll talk about Hull. They've only got 13. Well, they only had 13 players in their squad before today, but now they've added three players. Ryan Mason's coming for a club record fee from Spurs, who I think could do well. I think he was very good before, and then he was suddenly not part of the Spurs team anymore. I think he got an injury, didn't he, and then couldn't get back into the team.
I think just better players came along for Spurs.
Mm-hmm. I think
he's a decent enough player, though. You put it at Hull.
Yeah, I agree. They've also got James Weir and Will Keane, both from the United. James Weir was the United under-21s captain. Will Keane, we briefly saw last season, and he got that injury in the game, which caused Rashford to come in and make his debut. So they're both...
Is there a rumour that the United States coach was going to take over? That might be...
What, Klinsmann?
No.
Bob Bradley?
Yeah, Bradley, yeah.
All right.
He gave his favourite. They gave him the whole job at one point.
I don't think Mike Phelan's been confirmed as boss, but it looks likely that's going to happen.
Yeah, because he's done a decent start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Will Keane is a player that could do well at Hull. Was he at United since about the age of 9 or something?
Yeah,
like
he's been there since he was really young. He had a couple of... Sorry, go on.
He's a decent player. He's just never really had been able to break through at United.
Well, he's 23 now. So I guess for that level, he's maybe a bit old, and maybe it's best for him to leave on a permanent transfer from United rather than a loan deal.
It'll be interesting to note, though, with United, like over the years, there's always been a few sort of leaks made through to the papers and stuff, and it was meant to have been him that used to leak them out. So it'd be interesting to see if those leaks sort of quiet down now.
Well, now that he's gone to Hull.
He has gone to Hull.
You're trying to say it. There's lots of rumours coming out of the Hull dressing room. We know who it is. I don't think they'd even make the papers, though, would they?
Well, I was going to say, it's not going to sell as many copies of The Sun, is it?
The Hull Gazette will be live now.
Agnes the Tea Lady is stealing from the petty cash.
Right. There's a couple of players beginning with N I want to talk about. A couple of unknown players from the French League. N Dong's moved to Sunderland and N Kudu to Spurs, with Clinton NG moving the other way. To be honest, I don't have much of an opinion on any of this because I don't know enough about them.
Well, N Dong is a brilliant signing.
Okay.
I said N Dong's a brilliant signing, just purely from a humorous point of view.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me what a great player he was.
No. Just from all the obviously all the puns that are going to be in the papers if he scores or something.
The one for Spurs I thought was a bit of a funny one because they've let go of Chadley, who was fairly decent, I thought.
Yeah, he's sort of a all right player. I think at West Brom he's going to thrive though. I think.
Yeah.
Going a bit off, but yeah.
And so they thought, I'm paying no attention because I'm just trying to think of puns with Endong. All I could come up with was Endong's stiff tackle, but. Sorry, as I said, I was like, so, you know, what were you talking about?
Including the Spurs.
They've let go of Chadli, who I think is better player than the one that he's replaced him.
I guess Chadli, at his age, isn't really going to improve. He was sort of that decent player rather than... And he, I guess he's not really... He's a bit old to be improving, maybe as a counter-argument.
How old is he?
I thought he was like 28, 29.
Don't know about that. But yeah, the one brought in is only 21, I think so.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't win a league with kids. That's some of the things he said, but 28, 29, surely that's your peak.
He's 27, I've just checked. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think he's reached his peak.
Nkudu.
Yeah, they've replaced Nkudu. I have no idea if he's any good or not, to be brutally honest.
Well, he says about himself, everyone knows I'm fast. Well, we didn't. I like to dribble around players, so the English league is best for me.
Okay.
Well, reckon Ndong dribbles.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
It's all right. We'll move on to something else that's quite funny.
Not like that.
Final transfer on my list to talk about, Mario Balotelli. He's moved to Nice on a free transfer from Liverpool after joined Liverpool for 16 million, so they've made a 16 million loss. He's joined Nice. I want to point out as well that Hatem Ben Arfa joined Nice last season when he was sort of going off the rails at Newcastle, and he's really turned it around and ended up at PSG, so maybe Balotelli will do well as well. Maybe he'll turn it around.
I like Balotelli needed to go somewhere like Sunderland or Hull. Somewhere where, after the game, he hasn't got any distractions because nothing else happens in that city. And he could just go home, play on his watch his Netflix and play on his Xbox and then just concentrate on the game for the next one. I don't know if the south of France is going to be the best place for him.
Well, just while we've been talking, sorry, we were talking about Sissoko earlier on. Apparently, Everton and Tottenham have now put in £30 million bids. Tottenham have now matched Everton's bid of 30.
Okay.
That's a stroke. Maybe they weren't going to.
Yeah, so it's just come through.
All right. Are there any other transfers, or, well, confirmed or otherwise, people want to mention?
Slimani has joined Leicester.
He's joined from Benfica, hasn't he, for £30
million? Sporting Lisbon.
Sporting Lisbon, sorry, yeah.
Scored 31 goals for them last season, 44 appearances.
He's one of them. He's quite similar to Musa and Vardy in a way. Like, he's fast. He likes to drift wide and look for space. They've got three very similar strikers, I think.
Well, you play to the side strength. So, but I think it's an odd one. And when they've already got those two players, if Vardy was gone, then yes, it'd have been a great bag. But it's a bit strange with having two other very good similar players.
Maybe there's a late twist in the transfer window after this recording.
I don't think so. I think it's more just building the squad for the Champions League assault. I think, you know, they're going to need an extra striker. Vardy's got a reputation that he's probably going to get some time off this season, with booking. So I think it's not a bad signing. Well, it's a good signing. It's their club signing.
He's a very, very good player. Mm-hmm.
The transfer I was going to mention, and it's not a new transfer, but I think you said that we might talk about this, who we thought the best transfers were this close season.
Okay, yeah.
If I can go with my highlight, I think Joe Allen at £5 million is an absolute bargain. I think that's been the best bit of business by any club. That's for my friend Mark Hughes at Stoke.
I can't disagree with you on that one. He's a cracking little player.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but I thought he was like 12 million.
Was he 12 million? For some reason, I thought he was 5 million. I'll have a look at one while you carry on. We'll talk about yours. he won't be so much of a highlight for me if he's 12 million there.
No, either way. He's,
13. There you go.
13.
He's going up every minute now. He'll be breaking Pompous record in a minute.
So it's 13. Is Joe Allen £13 million a highlight for you still, or is he an over? Is he overpriced now?
Yeah, he was never any good. £13 million. No, I still think he's a cracking player. Maybe not £13 million. I think he's fine. Whoever Hal Robson Carney goes for a free transfer. There you go. He's the best signing of the summer. Can't believe he picked up. What's going on with that?
I don't think he's got a club as at this moment.
So I take it the transfer window doesn't count then, does it?
Well, he's a free agent, isn't he? So
he picked up afterwards.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be picked up at some point, probably by a Football League club, but I'm sure that's something we'll have to wait and see on.
Okay, then I'll go for my other one then. My other brilliant piece of business, it's got to be Jack Wilshere to Bournemouth. I don't know how Eddie Howe managed that. I think it's an amazing sign.
Yeah, I think he'll massively improve Bournemouth. I agree.
I think he could actually be the difference keeping them up.
Mm.
Well, actually, there was one other transfer news I wanted to mention, actually, if I can. Mulgrew for a second. Charlie Mulgrew's left Celtic and gone to Blackburn. The only reason I mention it is because he had just had a break from me and his son plays, well, used to play in the same football team as my son. And his son is amazing. He's only 8. Fantastic little player. So well done, Charlie and Charlie Jr. Oh, his name's Josh.
your son might then get to play with Torbay's lad. That's it.
Oh, okay, you're just name dropping people now, aren't you? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, my son used to play with Telewave lad, so.
So Charlie Mulgrew, good little vibe. It most probably sums up Scottish football for you, that a Scottish international who's playing in the Champions League wants to move to Blackburn.
The Scottish club said as well, though, that the way that the money's going in the English game is that a top-level Scottish player will soon be joining League One clubs.
Wouldn't surprise me. The Championship is becoming more and more rich.
There's something I heard on the radio the other day that was saying that they're apparently looking at introducing a fifth division as opposed to the conference, so actually making it a five-division league.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're on about changing it to the FL 100, so it's 20 teams. Yeah,
but they're thinking about inviting in Celtic and Rangers again, which I didn't think.
Oh, I don't think it would, and I don't think it should either.
It would be the final nail in the coffin in Scottish football.
I agree.
Next you get Welsh teams joining the Premiership.
I think we'll end the show there. I've got a few things I want to mention. There's the V2 Academy show, which Chris and Peter Prickett are recording. Latest episode has futsal England international Grant Osborne. That's well worth a listen. The Ash and Al podcast for V2, their Premier League review for V2 football. That's debuted this week. You can give that a listen. And Nick Dave is not here to celebrate with me, but the 72 show will be returning next week. Keep an eye out for that. Also, check out our website, v2football.com. We've got blogs on there. It's good night from me, and good night from Richard and our guest this week, Adam Davey.
Good night.
Good night.